I have a friend who likes to joke that dying will be a relief for her because it will put an end to what she calls the heavy burden of judging. She envisions herself lying on a hospital gurney somewhere moments before death, staring up at the ceiling and thinking to herself, "My, what a hideous green that is." Here's a modest idea. Vow for the rest of this day, just this day, that you won't judge your friends or your family or even a stranger that you see on the street or happen to see in a store. This would include, of course, the friend who's a nonstop talker. It would include a friend who's always complaining, for example, about his life. It would include the strangers that look disheveled that you pass on the street from time to time or see in stores who are fumbling for their change as you're waiting impatiently to pay the checkout clerk and get on your way. I call it a modest proposal because I'm not even addressing the issue of self-judgment that we do to ourselves constantly, that running interior dialogue that tells us that we're no good, let alone trying to figure out how to judge the situation in the Middle East or Africa. Nope, I'm just asking you not to judge friends or strangers today. I think you'll find that it's nearly impossible to do this. Just take a few moments. Without judging anything in your head, just take a few moments. How long is he going to keep doing this? I haven't even been able to form an idea, and now he's talking. He didn't give me enough time to form an image. Why did I bother to come to church today? I hope prayer time is shorter. I got to get to the grocery store. Will this sermon be long? So why not just judge away? Literally, why not? Just give into it. And that's a rhetorical question. Don't answer it, because I have an answer for us. Let me start by drawing a distinction for us between judgment and discernment. Discernment means perceiving the way things are. Period. That's it. Judgment is what we add on top of discernment when we make a comparison, implicit or explicit, between how we think people are and how we think they should be according to our own standards. So in judgment, there's an element of dissatisfaction always with the way things are and a desire to have things be the way that I want them to be. Take the talkative friend. To think or speak in a neutral, purely descriptive way about somebody would be like, she can talk nonstop for 15 minutes. Now that's a discernment. A judgment would be, she can talk nonstop for 15 minutes. It's got a negative quality to it. It's got a tone of voice to it. That's what judgment does. It connotates a negative image. It's a desire for her to be different. She's not the way I would like to be with her, so she's got to change, in essence. That's what judgment is. The same analysis applies to the complaining friend or to the strangers that we meet out in the street. Discernment is simply observation, simply stating facts the way we see reality and then being able to have a conversation about it. Dissatisfaction and tone of voice bring in the element of judgment, which makes us always defensive. Now, think about strangers for a moment. If you're like me, there's almost always a subtle judgment running on in the background of our minds that we're not even aware of. That's how fast and pervasive it is. She could stand to lose some weight. Why doesn't he bother to clean himself up a little bit more before he comes into church? So again, why not just judge away? Just go ahead. Recall that in judgment, though, there's an element of dissatisfaction, and that dissatisfaction will end up, in the long run, hurting you. So judgment is just a recipe for suffering. Suffering for you, and suffering probably for the person you're judging, but if they're a stranger, they may not even know it. So just start with a little dissatisfaction on a person and who they are, and mix in a classic amount of desire for them to be otherwise. To make the suffering nice and rich and fluffy, be sure to you sprinkle in just the right amounts of dissatisfaction, and voila, in the end, you will have baked a judgment cake. Right back onto yourself, as Jesus warns. Now try this experiment. Think about a couple of friends who annoy you in some way. Can you let them be the way they are without desiring for them to be otherwise? Whoa. That's a tall order. Can you allow them to be who they are without desiring that they be different from that? Now, stick with those two examples. The talkative person who opens up too much, shares too much, never lets you get in a word edgewise, or the one who's constantly complaining about how their life is and how bad it is and everything. If you're like me, you'll find that judgment is such a well-ingrained response that you will hardly notice when you're doing it. It just kind of automatically happens. So I know I have a lifetime, therefore, of conditioning to overcome, but it's worth it. And here's why. Because not only by the judgment that I give will I be judged, Jesus says, but there is a benefit to not judging both to my mind and to my body and soul. I feel, for example, as light as a feather when I'm not judging. I feel, to give you an example of being in a context where somebody could potentially be annoying, like a leaf on top of a river. And when I hit the turbulent waters, I stay on top of the water and I just float along. That's what it's like. Now, I don't want to end up like my friend lying on a gurney someday, about to check out of this lifetime, thinking to myself, why is that ceiling a hideous green? It's all too easy to judge people based on their appearances or upon their opinions and whatever else that they offer up to us. And there was a fellow by the name of Tyler Bridges who knew this, and he wanted to use it as a springboard to get to us in a visual way. And so he made a video called What's the Difference? That he published last month with the Union Rescue Mission Workers of Los Angeles. And assisted by a hairstylist, he went out and recruited Tim Doma. Bridges and a film crew offered haircuts to a number of people who we might say could use a little trim, and proved that there isn't much that separates the homeless from everybody else. And I'd like to show you that video now just so you can get an idea of what I'm talking about. The guys in this video have been through some rough stuff and have made some poor choices, Bridges says in his press release. But the day that we did these haircuts for these gentlemen was about inviting them to just attend to some basic care that we wanted to offer them, to show them that we are not worried about the bad choices that they have made in their past or about how they look. It was about breaking down barriers and showing them some simple love and care for a moment. I like this because that does make a difference. Just like when you're at a checkout counter and everybody's hassling the clerk who's waiting and trying to get everybody through in an efficient manner. And rather than complaining or looking sour at the clerk, you smile. It makes a huge difference. I like this quote. I don't know who said it or where it came from, but it says, "Be kinder than necessary. For everyone you meet is fighting some kind of battle inside and has a story to share." Who knows? Maybe that's you. Now, there are several important things to remember about this. And the first is this. These are the lessons that I've taken away from Jesus. Jesus talked in stories. He talked in parables for a reason. They're powerful tools for teaching and reaching out to our hearts and our souls. Rather than try and convince us we're right or we're wrong, Jesus invites us to allow them to work on our souls. God has used stories of people throughout time immemorial to teach me, to change me, and to make me more like Jesus. Nothing has affected me more powerfully than people's genuine, vulnerable stories that they've shared with me. When people grace me and bless me with that honesty, I take it as a holy sign that God is revealing God's self to me. Number three, when I know or admit that I don't know someone's story, it becomes nearly impossible for me to judge or dismiss them. In other words, it's very hard to hate people up close and personal. When I'm with you, no matter the color of your skin or your socioeconomic background, and you're talking with me, it's one human being, or as Pesach Krauss, my rabbi friend at Sloan Kettering, used to say to me, it's one face of God, Stephen talking to another face of God. And lastly, as several very wise men in my personal life have reminded me lately, nobody can argue with your story. It's just your story. It's simply true because it's yours. You don't have to justify it. You don't have to make any excuses for it. All you have to do is share it. I'd like to close my sermon on a humorous video that was put together by Similac. It's a baby formula company that's entitled The Sisterhood of Motherhood. It's an advertising campaign that aims to conquer and encourage, not conquer, it's an advertising campaign that aims to encourage parents to come together and to focus on shared goals, not on differences, according to their press release. The video shows a playground filled with parents having different kinds of confrontations between moms and dads, illustrating the different decisions that parents make. And if you don't think that there's a more judgmental crowd than young parents, wait till you see this. It reminds me of the days when Hannah and Rachel were very little, when it comes to raising our babies. But for a brief moment in this video, there's a sign of peril, which serves as a reminder for all of the parents that they're all in this thing for the same reason, for their love of their children. And I might add, that is what Jesus wants us to do with one another. Here is the video, The Sisterhood of Motherhood. Perhaps we can all spend a little bit more time asking questions and learning to listen. That's what Jesus was saying when he was saying, anything you ask in my Father's name will be given to you. Ask, you'll learn, you'll grow. Listen, you'll understand, you'll become fuller, rather than talking and telling people. Because if you're like me, you already know what you think. You already know what you believe. And what you don't know can actually hurt you and it can hurt other people. So let's keep our ears and our eyes wide open to the stories of other people and what they have to tell us. You might just find that you're blessed beyond your wildest imaginings by a story that reminds you, I wouldn't trade my story for anyone else's. So the next time you're tempted to write somebody off for being an insensitive, clueless jerk, or to thank God that you're not as arrogant or ignorant as that person pontificating all over Facebook, or you see somebody parenting in the way that you think is wrong, that you would have done differently, remember that everybody has a story. So why not pull up a chair, sit down, and start listening? You just might learn something that could save your life. Amen.